In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to
God. And a warm welcome to our visitors who are here with us today. It's harvest time and not sowing time. And so the timing on our gospel reading is a little bit off. But it's actually good to pause and think back over the growing season. And, you know, you only get to the point of harvesting the fruit in the end, in the fall. Ask Pani about this if you ever wonder. Yeah, if everything goes right. If something goes wrong, you know, from the time you planted, you know, and the Lord gives several examples of things that can go wrong in the gospel. But if something goes wrong, in the end, you get nothing. I could tell you the sad story of the grapes. You know, this little trellis of grapes that we have that grew. And, you know, this year we actually got some grapes to start to grow, but then they would disappear and then some would come back. And then it was wet and so the fungus would come onto the leaves of the grapes and all this stuff. And we were holding out. There was a couple of little clumps that were hopefully going to mature. And here the last rain last week just finished them all off. It was nothing. Nothing to show for all of that year of watching things grow. It's sad in earthly terms to experience this. But I can tell you that we should be fearful, deeply fearful, if that happens in a spiritual sense. That the Lord's word planted in our souls, if it does not come to maturity, this is a tragedy. You know, so you don't get a few handfuls of grapes this year or a few plums on the tree or whatever. It's not a big deal. But in terms of the harvest of the Spirit, this is a big deal. And you only really get one chance to do it. There's only one season, and this is it. It's got to come to maturity. It's got to come to its fruitfulness. And so it behooves us to pay close attention to what the Lord says in the parable so that we can beware, so that we can cultivate our spiritual lives in a way that will bring our souls to fruitfulness. And I won't go into the whole parable because it's very wonderful, it's very involved, and there's so much that we can gain from it. I just want to focus on this first example that the Lord gives to us of the grain that fell on the path and did not penetrate the path. The path is the place where people trample, and it's hard. And so the seed could not go into the soil. It sat there for a while, and then the birds swept in and took it away. And it's interesting that the Lord, when he says the parable, then explains it, he says, the birds are the devil. It's interesting. You know, we can actually see this, Pani and I, when we feed the horses, you know, and the horses aren't all that efficient in their eating. And I can tell you that when they're gone, the birds sweep in and they feast. That food that is not planted or that's not consumed, the birds will come and take it away. And just think about this. God gives to us his word, and the devil can snatch it away. Now, I can tell you that if any one of you came up to me and said, well, Father, last night a thief came into our house. He broke in and he took everything that was valuable to us. I can tell you that you would not be pleased. You'd be very upset. You'd be angry. You'd be disturbed. For some people, that kind of event will ruin their lives. Now, if it's that way with the things that are sitting in our houses, then we could actually go back and acquire again. What happens? Should you not be fearful or angry against that possibility that the devil should come in and steal the precious word of God from you? Aren't you going to be on guard against that? And beware of what can happen. Those of you that have children, the birds are swooping to steal God's word from your child. That's why our church school program is so important, because this is the planting of the seed of the word of God so that they'll have something in their life, in addition to the seeds that you plant in your home. And how important it is that it not be stolen away by the devil, like the crows. So, what are the things that lead to this? To this hardness of the path, this inability of the seed to penetrate? It's an amazing thing if you think about it. The Word of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the very power of the Word of God that created the heavens and the earth, in some cases, cannot penetrate. Think about it. That's pretty hard. And the Lord Jesus warned about especially those who are hard-hearted. But before I get there, I want to speak of another hardness. And that is the hardness of ignorance. The hardness of ignorance. When we choose to stay ignorant, ignorant of the truth. You see, the seed of God is the Word of God. It is the truth that will set us free if we allow it to grow in our souls. But our ignorance is part of our hardness. And you know, when we use the word ignorant, don't we imply that? If we say somebody, you're ignorant, we're not just saying about oftentimes a state of their mind in terms of whether they know something or not. But that ignorance implies kind of a hardness, a blameworthiness almost. Our ignorance keeps God's word out, whether it's willful or not. In many cases, it is willful because we just simply don't take the small effort that it takes to open up the Bible and read a little bit, or to say our prayers and allow the prayers of God's word to come into our heart. This ignorance, then, is something that keeps the Word of God from coming in. In fact, we are ignorant. We are without the Word of God unless we open our hearts and our minds to the Word of God and begin to think about the Word of God and what it can teach us. We have to admit it into our hearts. We need to do this in an ongoing and a faithful way, the daily reading of Scripture. Without this, there is no fruitfulness, and we remain ignorant of Christ, of salvation, of the things of the church, and of the path to holiness. And all of the other things that you know, we don't get to square one in spiritual life if we don't open our minds to God. And that's that process of breaking down the ignorance and coming to know and coming to read and understand and letting the Word of God speak to us and get us excited about the faith and our salvation and our destiny with Him eternally. Hence we need to cultivate the Word of God daily, the reading of Scriptures, the sayings of the words of the fathers, to soften our hearts. The second example that I want to mention about this hardness is the hardness of pride. And it's that inner rebellion against God. You see, it's quite possible for you to sit here and to hear the Word of God read. You know, you can turn on the radio or whatever. You can listen to the Word of God in some way, or even read the Scriptures. But if in your heart you are proud, and if you do not accept the Word of God as applying to you, then the Word of God is repelled. You see, it just gets to the surface, and then in your will you repel it. Like that hardness of the path, keeping it outside of yourself instead of allowing the Word of God to come in and to penetrate and to find its place and to grow and reside. This inner rebellion against God. It's a failure to submit ourselves to God. And this is a rebellion which is a part of our fallen nature. That it's so much a part of us. We're seeing a rebellion getting popular again. Back in the 60s, you know, when I was young, rebellion was popular. You know, guess what? It's full loop, full circle. Let's rebel some more. It's time. It's been 30 or 40 years. Let's rebel. Somehow rebellion is seen as some sort of virtue. And quite the contrary is true. What we have to... The obedience to God is the breaking down of pride, the submission of ourselves to God. And that's why we see the example of the most holy Theotokos, the perfect example. Let it be done to me as you will. Whatever you will, Lord, let it be done to me. This is the humility that is the opposite of the pride and the hardness of heart. And what happened? Well, the word of God came to Mary when she said that. Let it be done to me. So if you want to break down the hardness of heart and the pride that may exist in your life, your prayer needs to be, let it be done to me, Lord, as you will. And we see this lived out not only in the life of the holy, most holy Theotokos, but also of all the saints. This is what they did. They just simply allowed God's will in their life. Let the word of God direct their life. And you know, that's not just a one-shot deal where you just say, oh, you know, this is what sometimes is said in certain circles where, you know, you accept Jesus as your Savior. And what that is an act of submission to Christ, and the Lord blesses that, I believe. But you know, we're called to do that over and over again. And we can set up pride, and we can keep the Word of God out in all kinds of ways. We can do that in our relationships. You know, if you enter into a relationship which is not godly, you're saying, Lord, yes, be my Lord, and I submit myself to you in all things. I will accept this, where my heart really resides. I'm going to repel you, Lord, because I don't want you in this part of my life. You see, if you ever hear yourself talking that way, then that's what's at work. This pride, this hardness of heart is at work, and there can be no fruitfulness. Because, you see, that's where the grace and the Word of God needs to come to your life. And, in fact, if you keep that attitude in place, then it begins to harden the other areas of your life as well. And this is a spiritual reality, how one sin leads to another. And pretty soon, our hearts are no longer disposed to God at all. Oftentimes, then, what happens, the breaking up of the hardness, what is that? Well, that's change. That's a wonderful word to use. Change. A change in our personality. An allowing of God to do something, to mold us, to shape us, to fracture the hardness in our soul so that the penetration of the Word of God can take place. You know, another side of this pride is our stubbornness of spirit. When we just simply refuse to listen to other people's words, we refuse to accept what they say, we refuse to accept them as themselves. And what is that? What's stubbornness? Stubbornness is bouncing off. You know, you become bulletproof. Bulletproof to other people, bulletproof to grace, bulletproof to God. You see, our stubbornness keeps the Word of God from us in many ways. When oftentimes what we really need to hear is what that other person has to say, if we would just be humble enough to accept it. And that's the beautiful thing about love. You see, stubbornness is the opposite of love. Love is the receptivity to others and listening to them and receiving them and allowing God's grace to work in the context of a relationship. You know, that's why, and by the way, I see this in the church. There are people in the church who get it, who learn that that's what we're about as a church, is forming relationships with one another, where we allow God to work in us. We allow our lives to be fruitful because God will bring to us His Word through one another. But I also see the other thing at work. I see the stubbornness where someone will come into the community and by golly, they're not going to allow anybody to get close to them. They're going to come, they're going to light the candle, they're going to maybe make their donation or whatever they do. And they'll smile and maybe receive the mysteries or whatever. But they will not allow themselves to be engaged in what the Word of God can do in their lives. And sometimes that is a communal process. It's one of the reasons why the Lord gives us one another, so that He can break down this hardness of heart within us through the gift of one another. So I just simply mention these things to you because I know them well in my own spiritual struggle, and we all face these challenges. That that even if we've walked for a while with the Lord, if our life has been fruitful in some way, it's quite possible to harden our hearts again. As we just read the book of Exodus, you see the journey of Israel through Egypt and out of Egypt into the desert. You know, it was like God's grace would work, it would open them, they would receive and be in fellowship with God, then they would sin and they would harden their hearts and experience this failure to receive God. And it went back and forth over and over again. And it's the same for us in our spiritual journey in our 40 years or so on this earth. So I commend to you then in your thoughts these things, this parable. And I just simply like to conclude with what St. Cyril of Alexandria had to say about this aspect of the parable. He says this in his commentary on St. Luke in Homily 14. The seed is the word of God, and those on the way are those who have heard. That would be us. But afterward, the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, and they may not believe and be saved. We see in a moment that the hardness of the ground causes the seed on the pathways to be snatched away. A pathway always is hard and untilled because it is exposed to everyone's feet. It does not admit seed into it, but rather the seed lies upon the surface, ready for the birds that will come and snatch it away. All whose minds are hard and unyielding, and so to speak, pressed together, do not receive the divine seed. The divine and sacred admonition does not find an entrance into them. They do not accept the words that would produce in them the fear of God, and by means of which they could bring forth fruits and the glories of virtue. They have made themselves a beaten and trampled pathway for unclean demons, yes, for Satan himself, such as never can bear holy fruit. Let those who are awake, whose heart is sterile and unfruitful, open your mind. Receive the sacred seed. Be the productive and well-tilled soil. Bring forth to God the fruits that will raise you to an incorruptible life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.